Go fly yourself. In Ways of Seeing, John Berger writes, "Men act and women appear. Men look at women. Women watch themselves being looked at." We see this in commercial aviation. The pilots, who are mostly men, remain behind a door and will only speak to us via an intercom, and then only to tell us that they're going to make various unilateral judgments. The cabin crew, who are mostly women, point, remind us how a whistle works, and tell us the best thing to do if we fly into a mountain is to put our heads between our legs. Berger goes on to write, "This determines not only most relations between men and women, but also the relation of women to themselves. The surveyor of woman in herself is male. The surveyed is female. Thus, she turns herself into an object of vision, a sight." But by this point, Berger was obviously losing focus. How can you survey something inside of you? It's dark in there and pretty gloopy. And women clearly act as well as appear. In fact, Gwyneth Paltrow's job is to appear to act and to make appearances, e.g. at a Goop pop-up or in front of large groups of nerds appearing to care about being in a comic book film. Acting is the shop window. The shop itself is highly marked up aspirational bullshit. It's high-end bullshit, but it's still bullshit. But, to be fair to Berger, we all bifurcate ourselves. When I buy Finnegan's Wake by James Joyce, the acquisitive part of me is buying it for the deluded part of me that thinks I'll read it one day, while the archivist part of me keeps it on a shelf with all the other books I haven't read, so that one day it can present a logistical problem to those who survive me. The stewardess also acts. She has to hyperheat meals until they form an impregnably encrusted superstructure. The pilot also appears. He knows he looks fly in those aviators wheeling that wheelie bag. He doesn't need those epaulettes. Neither do Coldplay. They like those epaulettes. Airlines have long adopted the stewardess as an emblem of allure. In 1971, the US-based National Airlines took out an advertisement featuring a stewardess looking straight at the lens. The type above reads, "Hi, I'm Cheryl. Fly me." What the advert doesn't make clear is how that would be possible. Cheryl appears to have none of the qualities required that would allow her to travel unaided through the atmosphere without touching the ground, let alone if she were saddled with an overweight and horny businessman. Unless they're tucked discreetly out of sight, there is no indication in the photo that Cheryl has wings or fins. Presuming she is no less heavy than air, we know that for Cheryl to achieve any kind of aerodynamic lift, she'd need a propeller or a jet engine. And given there is no outward indication that Cheryl is an airbound insect, her only option for flight would be if she were launched ballistically as a human cannonball. And that can only take you so far. The current record was set in 2011, when David "The Bullet" Smith Jr. travelled just over 59 metres before landing in a net. And he comes from good projectile stock. His father, David "Cannonball" Smith Sr., is rumoured to have travelled 61 metres at the Steele County Free Fair in Owatonna, Minnesota. But the distance was never verified, and the date never specified. In Minnesota, one imagines, days can drag. Perhaps that's why Smith Sr. took to blasting himself as far away from the arid sod as he could get, and encouraged his son to do the same. But I'm not entirely sure that this is what we're meant to think when Cheryl says, "I'm Cheryl. Fly me." Cheryl probably isn't inviting the prospective traveller to join her in a compressed air cannon to be violently expelled into a net in front of some semi-interested agricultural specialists. So what is Cheryl suggesting? Surely Cheryl isn't being presented as an eroticized canvas onto which the male traveller is meant to project his own propulsive thrust. That would make the airline her pimp. Does National think that the consumer is going to be so gripped by the illusory prospect of stratospheric Congress that he's going to book a flight he wouldn't have taken anyway? Is his wife going to wonder, how come all these needless flights all of a sudden? Also, unless National are thinking that, post-ad, they'll only be accepting one passenger at a time, is this an invitation to a menage? Will robes and lotions be provided? or will you have to bring your own lube? And in the event of an emergency, is this consumer going to insist on remaining in his sexual fantasy? As Cheryl guides him through the acrid smoke to the exit, is he going to say, "So how's about grabbing some noodles later? That is, if this thing doesn't explode in a fireball." Is he going to maintain his erection all the way down the escape slide? Perhaps in the event of a landing on water, when he's blowing on his whistle to attract Cheryl's attention, and Cheryl has managed to staunch the bleeding of the other surviving passengers clinging onto the debris, she'll swim over to him, and right before he succumbs to the ocean's icy embrace, Cheryl will give in to what has been undeniable ever since she saw him sit down in 3K, the most distinguished of all the aisle seats, and use her one remaining hand to jack him off. Before long, National Airlines replaced the "Fly Me" ad, this time using one with a more Heraclitus-like tone. "We'll fly you like you've never been flown before." Aviation regulations would dictate otherwise. Commercial flight has never been a playground for mavericks, no matter how droll the in-flight announcements can get. What's going to happen is that they're going to fly you in the exact same way as before, with as few variations as possible. If your flight is from Luton to Corfu, there's one way it's going to pan out, i.e. you get on the plane takes off, the plane lands your broken ass in Corfu, you get off the plane, they pretend to clean the plane, then a bunch of other shit kickers get on the plane, and the plane hauls their broken asses back to Luton, the jewel of Bedfordshire. If they're flying you in a way they haven't flown you before, that's because the engines have failed. And call me uptight, but the thought of falling to my death has seldom given me a boner. Air Jamaica went with, "We make you feel good all over," which, even if you were just to focus on your inner ear, is a flat-out fib. Few things are guaranteed to make people feel worse than air travel. You are 100 times more likely to catch a cold on a plane. You're exposed to more radiation than you would be if you were stood next to a nuclear reactor. And perhaps most pressingly, it makes a man mighty windy. The moment right before flatus passes through the rectum is one of tension and intense self-hatred. Sure, once it's out, you feel like God. But until your alimentary canal deflates, you want to die and you don't care how. Air France had the slogan, "Have you ever done it the French way?" But how can you fly in a way that's particularly French? Does the plane wear a beret and leave a trail of Gauloise fumes? Are the in-flight announcements underscored by an accordion? Are other planes, especially if they're on their gap years, inexplicably attracted to them? What is so specifically French about these aircraft? Are they just giant winged baguettes? Or is the advertiser trying to suggest that the French cabin crew may, well, what exactly? Why don't they just call it Caligulaire? Our seats are wiped clean for a reason. The Fly Me campaign was not the first time the promise of intimacy was used in airline marketing. In 1967, United made this inducement. Everyone gets warmth, friendliness, and extra care. And someone may get a wife. In fact, ever since Ellen Church, of whom more later, suggested that women work as stewardesses, the implication has been that these women are there for you. Yet the effect of this marketing is to make the whole endeavour of being a stewardess seem trivial, unimportant, and unnecessary. When something really is important, you don't rely on sex appeal. If there were print ads for brain surgery, you wouldn't show a picture of a glamour model next to the caption, "Meet Cindy. She'll be holding the forceps."